there. This is KJZZ's Sun Up. It is your daily news update from here in Phoenix on our state and region. Hi, I'm Phil Latzman. For this podcast, we recount to you the daily digest of the news events here in Arizona. It is Monday. Thanks for being here as we kick off a new week. Hope you're staying cool and hydrated out there. It is June the 24th, and let's see what is in the news. Well, the head of the Arizona Education Association says she has mixed feelings about how school vouchers were handled in the state budget. From the Education Desk, Bridget Dowd has details.
The school voucher program allows any family to take public funds and use them to put their student in private or home school. Marisol Garcia has long said vouchers steal critical revenue from public schools. She says the new budget reduced the pain a bit, but it's not enough.
There was some restrictions and accountability put on some of the voucher ESA programs. Unfortunately, they were small baby steps when we actually need to have a larger discussion on how to deal with this out-of-control program.
Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs got some concessions from Republicans, including a change that will save $2.5 million in voucher costs. The budget also requires fingerprinting for teachers at private schools receiving voucher money. Bridget Dowd, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Former Republican Governor Jan Brewer has some advice for her party ahead of Thursday's presidential debate. Ease up on the rigged election rhetoric and offer solutions instead of complaints. As a former Secretary of State, the chief elections officer in Arizona, Brewer says she's concerned about how voters will view the outcome no matter who wins in November.
What we're doing is we're collectively eroding the public trust in elections, and it undermines our credibility of our political system.
Brewer says while some concerns are legitimate and should be addressed, it's time to move past the issue and tackle bigger problems. In other news, in their recent nearly three-year-long investigation, the U.S. Justice Department says of the Phoenix police, they often question people without telling them they have the right to remain silent and call a lawyer. The Supreme Court case that gave them those constitutional protections to people in police custody actually originated in Phoenix, ironically enough, as Matthew Casey reports.
The feds also say they saw cases in which Phoenix police kept questioning people after they had invoked rights named for Ernesto Miranda. He was questioned about a 1963 kidnapping and rape by Phoenix detective Carol Cooley, who died last year. Here's Cooley in 2016 recalling Miranda's reaction to the results of a suspect lineup.
At that point, he asked us, "How did I do?" And I said, "You didn't do so good, Ernie." He says, "Well, I guess I better tell you about it." And I said, "Yeah, I think you should." So he told us about it and wrote the confession.
Phoenix police did not comment on the feds' findings on Miranda rights. The department says a thorough review of details, allegations, and events in the 100-plus page report continues. Matthew Casey, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Phoenix leaders must decide whether to give millions of dollars to the University of Arizona for a new project in the downtown Bioscience Core. From the Business Desk, Christina Estes has more on that.
In 2018, Phoenix entered into an agreement with U of A, giving it development rights to a city-owned property at 7th Street and Fillmore. The university intends to develop the 2.5-acre site, starting with the Center for Advanced Molecular and Immunological Therapies, called CAMI for short. Chris Mackey, Phoenix's economic development director, says researchers will focus on the body's own immune system.
So what CAMI is planned to do is go inside the human body, and how do they hyperaccelerate what's already in the human body to fight disease, to be able to turn it on full throttle, if you will, to be able to fight those diseases and move forward.
The estimated $265 million project is expected to break ground by year's end. The city council will vote on giving U of A more than $16 million, along with free rent. Christina Estes, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, the 4th of July lands on a Thursday this year, meaning more travelers will head out. According to projections from AAA, nearly 71 million people will travel for the holiday. Julian Paredes is a spokesman for AAA.
Some people are going to start their trip earlier. Some people are going to start their trip, as early as next weekend. Or some people might delay it, push it back a little bit, and travel through the end of next week.
That means people, many of them, will be returning Sunday and Monday following the holiday. Paradis says also people should plan to take the metro to get to work, as a majority of travelers will be on the road. Roughly 18% of Arizona's population is 65 and older. Many of those seniors rely on help for meal delivery or rides to doctor's appointments. But as Kathy Ritchie tells us, come summertime, there is a major shortage of those volunteers.
Cheryl Keamy is the executive director of Neighbors Who Care in Sun Lakes and South Chandler. The group connects seniors with volunteers.
The bulk of our volunteers are senior citizens as well. Many of them are in their late 60s or early 70s.
And around this time of year, she says about two-thirds of them leave. Keamy says her organization, along with others like it, will be launching an awareness campaign to spread the word about the intense need for volunteers around the state and Maricopa County.
I mean, we are a retirement state. We are, by virtue of that, going to have a higher need and a higher incidence of other diseases like dementia, where we are needing to provide respite care.
And she says these needs are only going to grow. One reason is that many older adults can't afford paid caregiving services. Kathy Ritchie, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, despite what's known as the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, expired this month, there are still health needs among Native Americans. Only a few regional facilities offer free screenings through RECEP, the Radiation Exposure Screening Education Program. Gabriel Pietrazio has more.
Tanya T.J. Riggs is Navajo and with the Tuba City Regional Healthcare Corporation.
I have stepped into the role as their interim project director. And this kind of goes back to your initial question as far as, you know, the effects of the program sunsetting.
Just before she began overseeing RECEP in January, there used to be two employees.
But they left to seek more stable, sustainable employment.
Their departure came at a time, Riggs says, during a noticeable uptick for patient screenings ahead of RECA expiring.
The program's been around for a long time. Over the years, we've screened a lot of people.
Some 300 miles away is Michaela Braseco with the University of New Mexico RECEP Clinic in Albuquerque.
Our average patient is a Navajo man around 80 years old.
Even though patients can no longer apply for RECA compensation, RECEP clinics could still theoretically screen them for illnesses linked to uranium mining and atomic testing. The clinics are funded by the Health Resources and Services Administration, which tells KJZZ News that services would remain active at least for now. Gabriel Pietrazio, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Well, this month, the Department of Housing and Urban Development presented a roughly $9 million loan to Urban League Manor, a Phoenix senior living community, to upgrade the apartment building in ways that'll make it greener. Jason Poo is HUD's director for Region 9, which includes Arizona.
When we have programs like this that actually can deal with both affordable housing and climate resiliency and sustainability, then it's just the type of program that I think personally we need more of.
HUD estimates it's funded about 20% of the need for its services, but Poo says adequate resources and funding for new and existing programs like this will be key. The COVID-19 pandemic has changed the way many of us look at death and grief. Now new research shows how one generation is using humor to cope with that loss. Here's Kathy Ritchie once more.
Lisa Hardy is a professor of anthropology at Northern Arizona University. She and her team are talking to members of Generation Z, people who were born between 1997 and 2012, about life during COVID.
And so what we found is that in this generation who experienced lockdown during elementary and high school, that they've dealt with a lot of loss and a lot of death and a lot of change in ways that mean that they're able to laugh about it in some ways, joke about it.
Which can help them process their own trauma. Still, Hardy and her team also see lots of positives.
Another difference that I see in our research is real openness to talk about mental health challenges and difficulties.
Hardy says that while many of the interviews are heartbreaking, there's also hopefulness and an openness to change. Kathy Ritchie, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In sports baseball, the National League Championship Series rematch over the weekend in Philadelphia. The Diamondbacks lose 2 of 3 to the Phillies. They fall in yesterday's finale 4-1. Ketel Marte's RBI single in the ninth avoided the shutout for the Diamondbacks, but that was it. They managed just 6 hits in the game, and they are battling to get back to .500. The D-backs are now 2 games under that mark. They'll be back home tomorrow to start a homestand against the Minnesota Twins. And that does it for this edition of KJZZ's Sun Up, Arizona's morning news podcast on this Monday, June 24th. I'm Phil Latzman. Have a great start to the week. Stay cool out there. And we'll be back at you to do this again tomorrow.